He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
The Lakers are like patting themselves on the back for landing Marcus Smart when two teams over the last couple of years, one being the Memphis Grizzlies, they gave up a whole bunch for Marcus Smart. And it went so poorly that they were like, you know what, just go to Washington. And he gets to Washington, and Washington, who needs all of the veteran stewardship on that roster could have possibly gotten, even they were like, you're broken, you're washed, get out of here. And those are the guys that the Lakers are like lauding themselves that Rob Pelinka is like patting himself on the back for landing. You know, same thing for the draft, right? At the draft, the Lakers are like, man, we sure killed it. We got Adu Thero without doing this, that, and the other. And it's like, well, these other teams did this, that, and the other. What drives me nuts about the Lakers is that, like, all right, they had the end of the LeBron AD era where they weren't fully competing for a championship, but they weren't also going for it. They just sat there in the middle. And the first round picks that they didn't use to trade for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, those first round picks, they became Jalen Hood-Schifino and Dalton Kennect, neither of whom are going to impact this Lakers season. So it's like, we keep on grading Rob Pelinka and the job that Rob Pelinka is doing on a curve. And it's tough because all the while, he's also capable of acquiring Luka Doncic. That's something that every other team would give their right arm for. So it's, you know, he won a championship. He landed AD. He landed Luka Doncic. In that sense, he's a really bleeping good GM. But when it comes to, like, the one season that he cared about defense, that he cared about physicality, that he cared about these other things, the one season that he cared about those things, they won a championship. Since then, it's been all like combo guards and scorers and spacing and all this other nonsense that's like made for one of the softest teams I've ever watched. The team that we just saw play today, they were completely washed and soft. And those are the teams that Rob built. So, trade for Wiggins, trade for so-and-so, trade for this and that. Like, I'm not overreacting to the one game when I'm pointing out a years-long trend. And this years-long trend of Rob Pelinka ignoring defense, ignoring physicality, ignoring rebounding, ignoring all of these things, that's how you arrive at a team here where the Golden State Warriors just looked like they were on infinite turbo and the Lakers looked like they were playing in cold cough syrup. I'm going to take a quick sip of water because you guys can hear me. All right. So the next question here I have super comments wise is from Ryan Lucas. AR isn't worth more than Braun. Luka looks exhausted carrying these dudes. Braun clearly sent a message tonight. $20 million in salary is unplayable. Yikes. $20 million. Who would the $20 million be here, I guess, Ryan? Would that be, well, Maxey, right? He's hurt. He's probably going to be hurt most of the year. Vando? Are you saying Vando is the other half of that? Zite, like, even while Gabe shot poorly, and I think part of the reason why Gabe shot poorly, he was working his ass off on Steph. Like, I want to be fair. Even while I rip these guys, I also want to be fair. Okay, Maxey, Dalton, and Vando. Yeah, Dalton not being able to get into the game while the Lakers were struggling from three, that's pretty notable. I think, yeah, Maxey was never going to play. Like, some of the funniest leaks that I saw at the end of the year was like, you know, the Lakers really believe that Maxey could get in and be your the stretch big that they really, really need. And it's like, guys, come on, you know? So yeah, like I do think that LeBron is right to be like, two things can be true at the same time here. I think LeBron can be right to be frustrated given how long Rob has kind of fucked around with the tail end of his career. I think that can be true. It can also be true that LeBron sulking and being this kind of passive aggressive rather than just going into Rob's office and being like, hey man, we're done here. Because I think the Lakers, I felt this way at the end of the Russ thing too, or maybe like three quarters of the way through it with Russell Westbrook, where it was like, all right, Lakers either got to like rip that Band-Aid off, or they have to have some kind of public statement or leak or something like that, where it's like, you know what? This is the bed that we made. This is the bed that we're sleeping with. We're sleeping in. Ooh, pause. And we are going to make the best of the situation. We're going to try to make the absolute best of the situation, even with the understanding of like, yeah, this probably could be a lot better. And I think that's where I'm at with LeBron, where the Lakers and LeBron, there needs to be some kind of public showing of like, you know what? There's no other option here. We're all going to try to be professional at least through the end of the season and try to make the best of a situation that has probably run its course. I guess the problem there would be that, like, what's LeBron's incentive to do that? And that's why I would say, if you aren't going to do that, then walk into the office and demand the actual trade. Walk into Rob's office and tell him tomorrow, I saw you guys going up against my rival. I saw that team play, and I don't think I'm going to be enough on my own to push them over the hump. Send me to X, Y, or Z team. I'll work with you on making sure that you guys get a decent return so that you guys aren't completely screwed for the Luka thing. Like, one way or another, like we are kind of reaching that point where it almost becomes untenable for LeBron to sit there on the sideline with Bronny sitting next to him. Both of those guys look like they have zero interest in the game whatsoever. Like, it's just not a very good look for anybody involved. And it's either time for everybody to kind of grow up and learn to work together, or it's time for a real change. And I get the frustration from LeBron. Now, AR isn't worth more than Bron. I don't know. Like, if you put Luka and Bron on the exact same rosters and those rosters didn't have Nikola Jokic, I don't think you would necessarily feel that way. That said, I think you can make an argument here that it's Brown, right? That AR, if you swapped him out, especially given that Reeves is probably going to make a little bit more in free agency, that Brown might be a little bit better of a fit next to Luka. But I do think Luka benefits from like, we saw how gassed Luka looked in that fourth quarter, right? He looked exhausted to the point where like he was kind of grabbing at his groin. And I am really kind of curious at like what's going to come of this one. Is there going to be some residual soreness with Luka in that groin coming out of this one? Cause he was really kind of grabbing at the groin and wasn't moving all that well. So I don't know if he was asked about it after the game or whatever, but we'll see. But like, he looked like he was moving significantly worse down the stretch of this game. He wasn't able to turn the corner anymore. And that's where he does benefit from having another ball handler there to help carry those offensive responsibilities for at least a sizable chunk of that game. And what I would like to see at some point is for the Lakers to run something that makes both Austin and Luka's lives easier at the same time. But apparently, you know, I'm just going to have to keep on saying that or asking for that. So I'm literally blue in the face. So I understand where you're coming from. I think it's a fair position to take that AR and Brown, maybe we have an inflated view of AR for whatever reasons, but I do think that Reeves is a just better player than Brown, and Brown happens to be in a much better situation. I think this is a sporadic with a good comment here that Luka looked the way that he did at the end of the game. Could have possibly been because he hasn't been playing consistent basketball since Eurobasket. And I do think there's something to that. Like, this was one of my concerns, was that, you know, you can kind of, it's the smoke and mirrors thing with defensive strategies where you know, you can get by with strategy and with overhelping and pre-switching and doing all these things that the Lakers did in the second half of last year to be a good regular season defensive team. Well, eventually those things stop being as effective. And when those things stop being as effective, then you're left really, really hurting. And that's kind of the point that I've been trying to make with, as it pertains to not playing guys in preseason games, not having guys practice because they like tweaked something. You know, guys weren't actually hurt. You know, they were just like sore or they were dealing with something, right? It wasn't a literal, you know, injury as it was, say, with LeBron. And the problem with not having guys, you know, work hard or not putting guys through a harder conditioning schedule for the sake of keeping them healthy is that, well, you're going to get to a game where you're going to face a team that did have that kind of a conditioning schedule. And then you're going to try to keep up with that team and you're going to look like Lightning McQueen when he was trying to keep up with the bad guy in the third movie, right? And he blows his tire and, like that's the concern there, is that like eventually reality is going to hit you and you can protect guys from the realities of how hard it is to be an NBA player for so long. But eventually when you start competing against guys who haven't been protected in that way, you're going to note, oh yeah, that's right. That's right. It does take a lot of work that I don't think the Lakers put in over the course of training camp. And I think that's a leadership problem that probably falls at the feet of JJ. Let's see. I am. So like Poster King, I want to know what you mean here. You guys don't understand. They want AR to be something he's not. Explain. Like, are you saying they want Reeves to be like a Christian Brown type player who like can help you with or without the basketball and is a better defender? Maybe. Or is it like the criticism that I also note quite a bit where it's like they meaning the Lakers are trying to make Austin Reeves into an all-star and he's not that kind of a player. Okay. All right. You clarified. I don't think it's that so much. Like I guess while I'm saying that, like Omaris is, this is fair. You want to be a $40 million player. You got to show out. I mean, like Austin did finish with 26 points, 9 assists and 5 rebounds. I don't think Austin was the problem tonight, guys. Like, why are we doing this? The problem tonight was guys like Rui, who disappeared for for large chunks of the game, knocked down a few three-pointers, was pretty good while he was knocking down those three-pointers, and then sucked for the rest of it. Guys like DeAndre Ayton, who, yeah, he looked good every time he had a nice clean catch, but every time he was swarmed by Golden State's defense, he had piss running down his leg. Like, that's, those are bigger, much bigger problems than Austin. I don't know what, like, I think a lot of people have basically made up their minds on Austin and have this, like, you can't have it both ways. And tell me that, like, all right, you got to trade Austin. He's not good enough to be your second best player. But then you also got to trade him for another team's second best player who you would rather have for even prices, because those two things can't coexist. Either Austin is that valuable and he can fetch that player of the ilk that you guys are talking about, or he isn't that valuable. And if you do trade for him, you're bringing in a player who you would have similar frustrations over. So it's like, okay, fine, Poster King, like, someone athletic, you want a black guy. Is that what we're saying? Like, is that what we're doing here? Like, what are we doing? 26, 9, and 5? What are we doing here? I truly don't understand. Like, you want Austin to be this thing. All right, you're going to trade him to bring in that thing. If you were to trade Austin for Christian Brown, right now, if you were to trade Austin for Christian Brown right now, you would bring in Christian Brown. And then when the moment that Luka Doncic sits down and the offense goes to shit, you're going to sit here and say, damn it, we need more creation. If only there was a guy that we had before who would have offered us more offensive creation. Except what? You know, like, I would rather have Nembhard. Well, he's not available. The Pacers aren't trading Andrew Nembhard. Like, all right. So we're going to go to create a player, and we're going to go create an athletic player who makes probably $30 million is what I would hope that you guys, or what I think you guys would hope that this guy would make. And you're going to trade Austin for that guy. Those players, the problem with the points that are being made right now is that those players either don't exist or are not available. And yeah, maybe by the time we get to the deadline, some of those guys become available and it makes sense to trade those guys. Here's an example, right? Poster King, you were probably on board with trading Austin Reeves for DeJounte Murray. Well, let's say the Lakers traded for Austin Reeves for DeJounte Murray and extended DeJounte Murray. How would that have gone for the Lakers? Like, where would the Lakers currently be right now? You wouldn't have had him all of last year, and then you'd be hoping when he comes back this year, he would be the same player that he was before he got hurt again. You know, like, the Lakers would be screwed. So, yeah, I don't know, guys. I just think I see a lot of code here. And look, I will also note that there is a lot of code going the other way, where I think there are fans who maybe overrate Austin because he's white. And it's this really tricky thing that I'm trying to balance here. But I'm given what I know, and you guys know that I don't hold back on this stuff. If I learn something, I'm gonna tell you guys who was or was not available. And, like, would you have traded Austin for Wiggins? Get out of here. Get out of here. Why would you trade Austin Reeves for Andrew Wiggins? You know, like, what are we doing? You know, find me a player that like, I'll tell you what, tomorrow I'll call around, I'll ask around, and I'll see what people say to the notion of trading Austin Reeves for Andrew Nembhard and see how it goes, right? But I'm just telling you guys right now, you guys probably aren't going to love the answer. So Here we are. All right. So I'm going to wrap this up because I still have another episode to record. The plan for tomorrow is, tomorrow's being Wednesday. All right. So Yaron Weitzman wrote that book that I actually have it right here. Hollywood Ending. In that book is the excerpts that you guys have been seeing floating around, right? The Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Will Smith thing. The revelation that Jeannie Buss didn't know what a pick swap was, and Rob Pelinka was asking people in the New Orleans organization how to explain that to Jeannie. He wrote all that. It's in here. I'm going to be talking to Yaron tomorrow, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. That's going to be for half of the show tomorrow. The other half of the show, I'm going to, you know, watch this game again, sit down and you know, take this all in, given, you know, the oxygen that we get from this one. I haven't been able to break, you know, to look at some of the quotes coming out of this game as well. So I'll factor some of that into tomorrow's show too. But it'll be kind of like a two-parter tomorrow, where we'll have kind of an intro talking about the game and the fallout from the game, and maybe some of the tweaks that we're going to find out the Lakers might be getting ready to make going up against Minnesota on Friday. Then the second half of the show, we'll talk to Yaron. And then and that'll take us through tomorrow. Also have a lowdown coming. If you haven't already checked it out, Great Western Forum is right here on the feed as well. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your day. Schmicky. Schmicky. Austin Reeves for Jrue Holiday? Oh, my God. You guys have problems.